Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hey, everybody. That was Motion City Soundtrack doing a cover of the Doug Loves Movies theme by Hard and Firm. Follow them on Twitter at Motion City Music. Motion City Soundtrack was too long a name for Twitter. My name is Doug, and I love movies. It's Tuesday, June 29, 2010, and we are taping in front of a live audience at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. As always, right before Comedy Death Ray, it's free to get into the podcast taping, but priority always goes to the people who have Comedy Death Ray tickets. So that's a F to the Y to the I if you're planning to visit us in the future. Shout out to all the podcast listeners who came out to my shows last weekend in Lexington and Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Dan Spangler. And Monday night's show in Oklahoma City. Yesterday was Doug Benson Day in Oklahoma. True story. It was proclamated by the governor of the state, who is apparently not familiar with my work, but was excited enough that I was coming into town that we were able to call it Doug Benson Day, and it was the best Doug Benson Day I've ever had. And there were enough podcast listeners in the audience in Oklahoma City last night that we actually played a round of the Leonard Maltin game with Graham Elwood was there with me, and he played against people in the audience, and he beat three dudes in a row, and then the fourth guy that played, I managed to take down Graham Elwood, and he won a fabulous prize. So hopefully as I go out on the road in the future and there's enough people in the audience that are fans of the podcast, we could do more of that in my shows. Because normally when I'm doing a show, you know, if I just bust out my Leonard Maltin app and start asking people how many names, they're just going to be like, what? Somebody's breathing hard enough that it sounds like there's a dog in the audience. Maybe they just ran in. I saw Night and Day. Where were we? In Lexington. We had some time in the afternoon. Graham Elwood and I went and saw Night and Day. And it wasn't bad at first, but wasn't good at last. And I'm pretty good at paying attention during movies. Sometimes I'll nap or be too high, but I watched the whole thing, and I'm pretty sure that there isn't a character named Day in it. There is a character named Knight, but not a, the what's her name? Cameron Diaz. She's not named Day. So I don't know why it's called Night and Day. I mean, there are some scenes that take place in the daytime, but there's no scenes that have anyone in a knight's costume. So it's very odd to me. Like, I thought that was a terrible title, even if they are characters named those two things. Like, really? Night and Day? You know, Will and Grace? Anyway, let's see. What else did I want to say before we bring my guests out? Nothing. Let's bring my guests out. These are two first-timers to the show, and I'm very excited to have them here because they are two regulars on one of my favorite TV comedies now and of all time. From The Office, please welcome Oscar Nunez and Kate Flannery, everybody. Oscar, no, yeah, Oscar, you sit here on stage with us rather than in the audience. And speak into the microphone the whole time if you can. There's our manager walking by, Oscar.
And smell the hand.
Recognize him. Yeah, just say everything into the microphone, even though everyone, it's a small theater and everyone could hear us if we didn't talk into the microphone. We have to remember the podcast listeners, right?
The people we can't see.
Yes.
Or smell.
This looks like they belong on the bridge on Star Trek, like warp 5.
In case you don't recognize the names or the voices so far, Kate plays Meredith on The Office.
Hi.
It is has a much, much friendlier demeanor in real life. Very nice lady that I always enjoy running into.
Some days, but yeah, I'm a little happier than I am on the show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She drinks probably a little bit more than you.
A little bit.
Yeah,
little
yeah.
Bit.
And has more sex for steak coupons than you do.
This is true.
And Oscar plays Oscar.
Hello.
On the show. Who is not gay in real life. I don't know if, you know, you're not defensive about it.
No, I'm not.
You're totally down with it. Because it's not like you're on a show where you're... It's not like you're on a show where you have... If you're on a show where you're, like, making out with dudes all the time, you'd probably, like, in real life be always saying, I'm not gay. But, like, since Oscar's not really that gay of a character as gay characters go.
No, it's pretty tame. It's not like Queer as Folk. A couple of those guys were straight. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That was exactly. Intense. That show's intense.
Like, your scenes with your boyfriend in The Office, you're just, like, in a
holding
fight
hands,
usually or something. Or holding hands at most.
Yeah. Doug, why do these guys have their names, like...
Oh, that's. I'm glad that you asked that because people that come to these tapings are crazy. They just started wearing name tags for no reason.
And a dollar bill over here. That someone has a dollar bill tapped. Is that?
Yeah,
is
I think people. Joke? A lot of people just put together an ad hoc name tag because they think of it while they're standing in line and they're just like, what can I tape or affix to myself with my name on it?
And it worked. They got our attention.
Right.
But congratulations. The idea is at the
you're
end of the show.
You're in show business.
When we play the Leonard Maltin game. I have the people on stage with me play for people in the audience. So I said, hey, could you guys start wearing name tags so it's easier for me to pick out contestants from the audience?
Ask and you shall receive.
And that's what's been happening. And now people are name tags to my live shows out on the road.
Cool.
And then there's no game and no prizes. They just look like a retard. They just look like they need everyone to know their name at all times just in case something happens. So, Oscar, you were in last summer's blockbuster, The Proposal.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
I'd like to know, once and for all, who's nicer, Sandra Bullock, Ryan Reynolds, or Betty White? If you had to pick one.
Ooh, a nice off. And they're all three really nice people.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go with Betty only because she has the time. She's put in the time. So she's being nicer longer. She's being on Earth longer. So she's being nice
and
for
she's, yeah, she's got more reason to be cranky and mean to people, and she's still putting in the time as a nice
person.
That's
her thing, Doug. She plays blue, and then she's nice, and people are like, woo, we like that combination. You know, because she's a really nice person, but she'll say, like, crazy things.
Yeah, she's great on roasts and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have a scene where you strip. You're a male stripper in the movie.
A little bit, yeah.
And
you can clap for his nudity. Come on.
How much like training did you have to do for that? As a stripper or as a, you know, did you have to work out a lot?
Well, getting up at 6 a.m., jogging 3 miles, 3 miles a day, push-ups, sit-ups, all things I did not do. Did you see what I did? I built up like it's, and then I went the other way. I did nothing. I was...
Because that was the joke, is that you weren't in the greatest shape. But,
thank you.
But you also aren't a fat guy. You weren't fat or anything.
Wasn't fat, but she saw me. She's like, no, this is not going to work. You are so hot. Please gain weight and all that. I'm like, what? I got to stop. She's like, yeah. So then I just slacked off a little bit.
All right. That's cool. And you had to go shoot that in Alaska?
Yeah, they shot some stuff in Alaska. My stuff was shot in Boston.
Subbing for Alaska? Or...
Yeah. Subbing for Alaska.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Remember?
I mean, I could have known that much about it without having seen it,
because
I saw you on a talk show talking about it, but I...
That's right.
I did actually see the movie, because I fly a lot.
You know where they... I'm holding for the laugh, and here we go. And you know where they got... where they got married, that beautiful house, that big, beautiful place by the water. That's real, and the mountains behind it, that was dropped in from Alaska.
Wow.
So
that was Boston with the mountains from Alaska.
So ILM did a lot of work on the proposal to make it look, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but that was all Boston. It was very cool.
I'm disappointed by that. I didn't know that. It's really true.
It was this place, Manchester by the Sea, which is beautiful, old money. It's just gorgeous. It worked.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what you expected. I'm coming. Yes, it's from Alaska. This is it. Yes, we shot in Boston. That's what happened.
I don't know how many podcast listeners I have in Alaska, but I've been there and it's all right. But if you were shooting a movie there, I was expecting some stories about being stuck in Alaska. Instead, you're like swinging it up in Boston.
I saw a movie about Alaska called The Fourth Kind, which I thought was real, and now people are like, no, it's fake, so I'm totally bummed because it was the scariest movie that I'd ever seen, but it wasn't real anyway.
Wow, I haven't seen that. Have you seen that, Kate?
I have not seen it, but he can't stop talking about it. He's obsessed. All right. So it must be...
Has anyone here seen The Fourth Kind?
Yeah. Anybody?
Yes.
Mila Jovovich is in it?
Wow.
Does she fight anyone?
Before the movie, she comes down the road and she looks to camera. She's like, you're about to see a movie that's really disturbing and scary. I'm like, what? Play the movie. I've never seen this before. She's like, everyone, it's really... I'm like, what the hell?
She makes a speech before every screening?
Movie. No, but in this movie, she walks down this road and talks to the camera and says, be careful. Wow. It's very scary. They've interviewed people, right? It's this whole thing.
Sounds awful.
Sounds like the worst kind. It's the fourth kind of movie. There's good, there's really good, excellent, and then the fourth kind.
There's really bad. It's really bad. It was so scary.
So, Kate, I ran into you in Philadelphia, where you're from.
Yes, you did.
And you were there. I was there doing comedy at Helium, and you were there doing it there as well. You do a show,
a two-person act called
The Lampshades.
Yes, I was doing The Lampshades there. We did a little mini tour the last couple weeks. We were in Philly and New Brunswick, New Jersey, while Rutgers was not in session. And then we played New York and Chicago.
And so now you're done? You're not going to do any more dates?
No, we continue. We're playing Tiki Oasis next month, and I don't know.
What's
a bunch
Tiki
of stuff.
Oasis?
It's this crazy thing in San Diego where everybody who's into Tiki gets all Tiki'd out and Tiki crazy, and I don't know. It's kind of, there's a lot of greasers. And
there are people that are into Tiki?
Oh, totally. There's a whole Tiki culture.
My boyfriend's into Tiki.
Yeah, my boyfriend's into Tiki. I know, but he's, I don't know. It's kind of like a whole retro flash. I don't know. We've never done it before, but it's more like greasers and I don't know, chicks who get like their hair done, who lots of pencil skirts and platform shoes, and I don't know.
That guy Cooper, what's his name?
Coop, the artist.
Coop,
he's sort of big in that, yeah.
French.
Yeah.
All right.
So, anyway, but it was good to see you in Philadelphia.
What's that? Yeah, it was fun running into you.
I actually saw you at my brother's bar, which is right around the corner from
the family bar. Yeah. When I heard that there was a bar called Flannery's a few blocks away from where I was and that you were there, I was on it. And I missed Butch Patrick by minutes, I guess.
But
he was there
Eddie
too.
Eddie Munster was actually at my show at the club, which was so weird because I did a morning show and he did it then.
Does he live in Philly?
No, he has a new girlfriend that lives there, so he was promoting something in Philadelphia. So he came to my show. It was so weird, but my brother's name is Butch, and he was promoting a show called Life's a Butch.
He's touring with Spock.
And then you die. Right.
Yours is better. He's traveling with Spot. Remember the dragon from Under the Stairs?
Yes, but you know what? So he gave me a signed picture of himself in a like as Eddie Munster in a coffin with his like little Wolfie doll. And he like wrote it to me. I mean, that's...
He carries those with him everywhere? Whips them out?
Cut to Oscar and I in 20 years,
you know what?
The office,
I was just
right?
That. I'm like, that's so sad. Cut to us in 60 years. I'm like, I was an accountant. I played a thing.
Now, Kate, according to IMDb...
Uh-oh.
You were in a movie called Life Without Dick.
I was.
And you played a character called Crampy Legs Partygoer. I love really specific, but not
in the script.
A name sort of characters in movies.
Actually, they
credits.
Changed the name because in the script, it was Party of Number One. So I kept saying, I'm Party of Number One. But it was actually a movie with Sarah Jessica Parker and Harry Connick Jr. and Craig Ferguson. And it went straight to cable. And most of my lines were in the dark, which is like so weird. There was like a surprise party scene and I was like so excited to do it. And then I realized, wait a minute, most of my lines, I'm behind a chair and all you see is like my party hat. And then like when the lights come on, I'm like sort of reaching for my legs, sort of like selling the bit. Like, oh, I was the crampy legs girl. So stupid. But this was like 10 years ago and Sarah Jessica Parker was red hot, red hot. So it really changed my career.
Who got you the gig? Well, how was the
Actually, I knew the writer, Bix Cahill.
Okay, there you go.
He was a good friend, but obviously not a good enough friend to give me lines in the light, because I realized, like, don't take a part in the dark. Don't.
Yeah, you could have just phoned that in.
I could have. But I would never do that, Doug. I love show business.
You're a professional. You know how to be behind a chair with a hat on. That takes years of training to be able to
it
pull
does.
That
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I have a really illustrious movie career.
She beat out three other girls for that part.
She literally beat them with the hat. So have you guys been to the, other than The Fourth Kind, which apparently is the movie you won't stop talking about, Oscar, have you guys been to the...
scary.
Seen anything else lately? Either, you know, it could be an old movie or a new movie, but like, what's the last movie you saw that you can tell us about?
Okay, to be honest, we just saw Steve Carell's new movie yesterday.
Or
both just saw
we
it?
We both did, yeah.
Premiere?
Despicable Me. Yeah, we went to Despicable Me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. I thought it was great.
It was good. It was a good movie.
It was good. Oh, I thought it was great. He thought it was good.
It was a good movie.
It's, you know, when you go to the premiere of your friend's movie,
you're
not going
to
walk out and go, what a
fucking... Hey.
Never, ever, ever.
See you in a couple weeks. We're going to work in a couple weeks. It was great. Right? No, it was good.
It was a great movie.
It was.
It was a great movie.
It looks interesting to me just because from all the previews and the commercial, especially the commercials, you just go, what the fuck is this thing? Who are these little yellow corn nuts that keep talking and punching each other? And what does it have to do with anything?
Those things were pretty funny. You know what happens with movies is you immediately compare them to Up, which was amazing, and that's a mistake to compare it to.
You mean all movies you compare to Up?
No, you know the ones I
animated,
mean. Animated.
Computer movies. Animated. Yeah, well, of course, Despicable Me isn't going to make you cry like Up does.
Although
right?
It did have a really sweet part. Like, toward the end, it was the, I don't want to give
heart.
It away.
Yeah.
I don't want to get. Had a heart. Had a lot of heart. A lot of heart.
Had a lot of heart.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. You guys got to go to the premiere.
It was pretty cool. And actually, we went to, like, my boyfriend's kids were there, and they were so excited. And we went to kind of follow this little crowd because it was like an older guy with like kind of long hair, and we thought it was Russell Brand from behind, but it wasn't. It was like some 65-year-old guy. I don't know who he was, but
I'm sure Russell Brand would be thrilled to hear that from behind he looks like a 65-year-old. But that's probably accurate.
It is. He can't deny it.
Okay, so you saw that.
So what we saw that.
So what did you see as regular citizens of late?
Okay, I actually joined this like little series at the Academy, which is so weird because I used to, when I worked at Kay Mantalini, I used to wait on all these assholes that would go to those things, and now I'm like one of the assholes that's going to those things. But they actually show like all these, once a week they show a film noir movie. And it's kind of fun. And they have like the, it's kind of fun. Listen to me. They show like an old Shazam episode before, like one of those, like from the 40s.
Yeah,
and,
cereal.
Yeah, and then that's the word, cereal. And then they have a cartoon. And then they have like, they'll, if anybody's still alive from the movie or anybody's related to anybody who's alive, like the, you know, they would make them stand up and everybody claps for somebody's great granddaughter or daughter. But they, I saw Double Indemnity and, they showed a Mr. Magoo called Triple Indemnity. Well, that was like the big tie-in. And then they had like Edward G. Robinson's great-grandkids stand up and, you know, they looked like
And they're like 89.
Right.
100. Double Indemnity, that's a great movie.
It was great, yeah.
That's a very entertaining movie, Wilder. Especially to watch with a crowd because it's like...
Kate loves old movies.
You can't get over like how clever all the dialogue is.
Oh my
in that
god!
Movie.
Yeah,
and how amazing Fred McMurray is at being an asshole.
I know, right? I know it's shocking, right? I know you always remember those Disney movies, but I used to wait on Billy Wilder, and Billy Wilder wrote and directed. He was really old when I waited on him, and he was like a thick Austrian accent, and I always was really creeped out because he had this like lawyer assistant friend who I felt like was sort of pimping out the third seat at the table. There always seemed like to be somebody who paid to have lunch with them. It was sort of like it's a weird
the giveaway was there was a line of people and waiting to sit, and then
it was just like sort of creepy. I felt protective of Billy Wilder because he was like 90 and he could barely walk, and it was just like
Was pretty feeble there towards the end. And every I saw him a few times at like events where they'd show one of his movies and he'd talk afterwards.
Yeah,
and he's like fascinating and an amazingly talented
person,
but also he was so old and feeble that it was like kind of a drag to listen to him tell stories.
I know,
because they would all take forever.
And his accent got
accent
really thicker.
His accent was hard to understand.
He would always eat calf's brains and eggs every time he came in. They actually kept it on the menu just because of him.
And they should call it the Wilder. Calves, brains, and eggs.
The Wilder. That sounds like a sex move. What?
Tell Doug who you waited on the from West Side Story, the two guys, the Jet and the Shark.
Oh, right.
Eat together?
Bernardo. Well, they did because of this Academy series. They would have anybody who was alive, like, show up, and, you know, they'd have, like, the last four people who were alive from Gone with the Wind. Like, one of them was an extra, whatever. And then, so one time they had Bernardo and Riff from West Side Story.
At the same table.
It was like, yeah, it was just like...
Wait, now Oscar, now it's seeming like you really are gay if you're so so excited about Riff and Bernardo from West Side Story.
That's pretty cool.
They're at the same table.
That's pretty cool.
I bet they were at the same table a lot of times in their lives.
Maybe, yes.
They were kind of linked for their whole careers, probably.
You can't tear them apart.
But I have to say, like, working there, it killed a lot of time to have, like, all these famous people in there because, you know, usually waiting on tables is really shitty. But when you're sort of, like, have some faint recollection of some old person that you're waiting on, like, they actually are significant somewhere in film or entertainment history, you know, I don't know.
Did Barbara Stanwyck ever come in?
She never did. I think she was dead before that. But Esther
she's
Williams.
She's a shithead. That's a callback to many episodes ago. I said no one's ever said this sentence. Barbara Stanwyck is a shithead. Then it became Willem Dafoe's a shithead, and the rest is history.
I think people might have said that.
Let me quickly ask you guys. Really, you have you think Willem Dafoe's got some detractors?
I think someone might have said that.
I think you know, just out of anger for no good
like
reason.
The Last Temptation of Christ or something.
Well, maybe good reason.
I don't know. What's that Irish movie?
He's a guy.
Oh, so if he's a guy, somebody's been mad at him at some point. That's a good point.
He's not Betty White.
No, he's not Betty White.
Betty White is not a shithead.
She's not a shithead.
All right, I'd be remiss because it's in the news right now, so I want to just ask you about this little sidebar because I do love TV even more than movies sometimes. Steve Carell leaving The Office, it will still soldier on without him, correct?
Well, I think people, they have it backwards. He's staying, everyone else is leaving. the stipulation on the contract.
It's becoming a one-man show. I like that.
Hey, what the?
That's
it's just
what I've
him
been
in
saying.
His office looking at YouTube.
That's it.
Actually, NBC did say they would go on without him.
They asked so, us yeah. this morning.
There's like 15 characters. You know, there's so many great characters on that show. Obviously, it'll be sad that he's gone, but I'm fascinated with how they'll write right. Michael Scott out of the show. That's going to be really interesting because something crazy could happen to that character.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's going to go another season without him. They were asking us this morning at the King Kong ride. They were asking us this morning.
Wait a second. They were asking you at the King Kong ride?
Yes, they
yeah,
were.
There was a
they had, like,
you don't have to work
face.
That hard to get the conversation back to movies.
No, no, but I'm saying... But I'm saying we.
You went to the opening of the new King Kong because
yes,
the old King Kong got burned down, and now this one is in 3D, which the old one was in 3D because it was a physical thing that moved around.
And they were asking us who would replace Steve Carell, and I said Gary Coleman.
Oh, that's a really odd choice.
It was terrible. It was terrible. It was a terrible thing.
That's a terrible thing. I actually said. Well, I think Charlie Sheen's going to be available. Just kidding. What? I thought it was like.
So you guys went on the new King
nightmare.
Kong ride?
Oh yeah,
we did. All we do is like stupid things that we get invited to. It's like we have no.
That's
time.
Not a stupid thing. I would be all over that
in
if 3D. I got invited.
Yeah.
And so how's it 3D? What do they give you glasses?
Yes.
But it's not. But it's not a movie. It's a physical thing that's happening.
You're in the
But you're in the tram.
You're in the tram.
The tram shakes. And
so
Kong
you only
comes
put on the glasses for that part of the tram ride?
Yes, sir.
And
yes.
Did you only do that part, or did you do the whole tram ride?
They made it a shorter tram ride. They just took us through the new old New York area. Yeah,
and right.
That
was, new, I'm back sure to it was the future like area. Yeah. That burned down too.
And they put you in this tunnel, and the front closes in the back, and then the thing takes place around you.
In 3D.
In 3D.
Wow.
360 3D.
And it's
360 3D.
He shakes the tram around.
Yeah. Yes. In 360 3D.
Does his breath still?
So that was very exciting. I never heard of 360 3D. Never. Yeah. I never heard of 360 1D.
Does his breath still smell like bananas?
No.
No, but you know something? I didn't. We got wet sometimes, and I kept thinking, like, is this supposed to be like...
Oh, it's that good? It's a sexy King Kong.
It's a very sensual. It's a very sensual. Flannery enjoyed it tremendously.
But I kept thinking, like, I mean, did we just get, like, you know... 360 3D peed on? Like, I couldn't figure out what the water was coming
spit.
From.
It's a dinosaur spit. It's a dinosaur spit.
It was supposed to be spit.
From the dinosaurs
okay,
that land right
next
to you.
I couldn't figure it out. Okay, I was,
that's what
all
it
right.
Was.
I did turn
oh,
my
so
head.
They added dinosaurs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a whole fight.
And bugs? They have those big bugs? Like,
they had some bugs. They had some bugs.
That last King Kong movie drove me crazy because everyone's like, let's go get that giant ape and bring him back to New York and put on a show with that giant ape. What about the 50 million other fucking crazy prehistoric creatures? Like, at least monkeys still exist.
Yeah.
There were things that don't even exist in life that they were like, let's just fight those because we're trying to get the monkey.
Let's get the monkey back. Because the money's in the monkey. All those other things...
But that's, you know...
They don't know how to market those things. They know how to market the monkey.
Doug, did I mention that I used to wait on Faye Ray? I swear to God, I actually mentioned that all day. I was like, that was like... I can't stop talking about waiting tables. I'm so sad not
well,
to be
Well, you know, I should... I want to make it more clear to everybody that you said, you know, when you say Kate Mantle, that you waited tables at Kate Mantellini, that sounds like you waited tables at a person. But
right, it's a
name of a restaurant on Wilshire.
Where apparently old movie stars go. Well,
yeah,
because
it's
there.
In Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And it's open 24 hours, right?
It's open late. It's open on like
open late.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have lots of things on the menu named after people.
And they're handicapped. They have a thing. You can roll right up.
Oh, they have a ramp. They had
they
a ramp before everyone was
before
forced
anyone.
To have a ramp.
And if you need an assistant, they'll even pull you up on a little rope.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because some people are really frail.
They have a little pulley system worked out. I just want to say quickly that I saw coming back on a plane... Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I had heard lots of good things about for a long time, so I was excited to see it, and I enjoyed it. It's like a Wes Anderson movie, but with animals instead of people.
I saw it the other day. My girlfriend really wanted to see it. I saw it.
And did you like
I'm
it?
I'm not crazy about that type of animation.
You didn't like the way the herky-jerky movement and the...
Yeah, and
the way
whole,
the fur on their faces doesn't stop moving
and the whole
ever.
Thing had an orange color feeling. I found it disturbing.
It's very orangey.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
I didn't see
you
it.
Should watch it with the kids.
I gotta see it. I actually they just watched it the other night without me.
Oh,
I gotta go get them. But I was gonna say, you know what I did see recently, which was Exit Through the Gift Shop, and I felt like...
How was that?
It was really good, but the first beginning, I'm like, I feel like I must be getting really old because the first part, I was like getting a little seasick from the way it was shot, and I think I was sitting up closer in the theater than I normally sit. I'm more of like a back of the theater kind of gal. You know what I mean? So,
I yeah, I do know what you mean. Back of the theater is where people are getting wet.
That's what's happening there.
This movie was good, but it didn't make me wet.
But I could see where any time a movie has a lot of handheld camera work, you don't want to sit close. Like I sat close when I saw Cloverfield, and I thought I'm still feel sick to this day.
Oh my god!
Forgive me for asking about the format. We are allowed to talk about foreign films.
Or? Sure. No, it's Doug Loves American Movies, and you can take your fucking pinko communist attitude. But that's what one thing I want to say I loved about Fantastic Mr. Fox is instead of swearing, because it's a kids movie, but it's adult characters, they say cuss instead of swear words.
Cuss, yeah.
And but every time they say cuss, I played the game of, well, what word did they mean instead? Because sometimes it'd be like, kiss my cuss, and other times it'd be like, cuss you. Yeah. You know, and you have to go, was fuck
them
or
saying
ass.
It or was it...
No, they said
the characters.
It.
The characters
say cuss.
So it wasn't like bleeped in, like cuss.
No, they...
I would like that.
No, it was them. It was George.
No, George Clooney,
and Bill
like
Murray.
Bill Murray. Most of the characters, like Meryl Streep's
Bill
character,
cousin
didn't swear
Murray.
Ever. She didn't say cuss, but
she's not
but
a big.
I thought
cusser.
That was really
awesome.
A clever. I thought that was a lot more clever than Frack on Battlestar Galactica, which always drives me crazy.
Oh yeah.
Let's play the Leonard Maltin game, you guys.
Woo-hoo!
Let's pick a couple of contestants for you. I always like to go right over here to the people that are sitting in this row on the end because they're close enough to me that I can see their name tags, and also I can talk to them about something else that you'll discover later. But I can't see your name tag. Mandy? All right, Mandy. We'll have Oscar play for Mandy, and then that's Jim next to Mandy. We'll have Kate play for Jim. All right? And we got some fabulous prizes for them. And I explained the game to my guests backstage because, as is often the case, you know, you guys have busy lives. You're not listening to podcasts.
I'm not going
to
be good at this.
And you're already worried that it's not going to go well.
Well, I'm feeling the pressure from Mandy. I can. Her eyes are boring into the back of my head. I'm going to do my best.
Oh, Mandy.
Can we just talk? Everything has to be a competition.
You can just talk through the whole thing, and you could also
answer.
You could also throw it if you want.
No, not for Mandy.
Mandy won't mind.
She's sitting right there. She's looking right at
me,
Doug.
But are you sure?
The prize for the consolation prize is she gets to tell me who to call a shithead at the end of the show.
Okay, there you go.
So that's I know what's in this bag. So that's a good prize.
There's no losers.
I know what the prizes are, and that's a good prize too. Okay, so let's have Kate start us off by picking a category first. Would you like to guess movies that I consider to be tearjerkers, or movies that are sequels, or movies that take place in Los Angeles? Which category would you like to play?
Let's go with tearjerkers, because I'm
all
a girl.
All right, because you're a lady, and that's a good way to win, because Oscar is not a lady, so he hasn't seen these movies. All right, would you like a movie, Kate, from 2008? Or 2004, or 2009.
Wow.
I know you love old movies,
so
and here
nothing
I am
giving
you all,
1980?
Giving
nothing?
You all more
okay.
recent ones.
I guess I'll go back to 2004. That's
all right,
as far back
go.
As your retro will
This
go.
Is a tearjerker.
Okay.
Leonard gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
I don't have an opinion one way or the other on that.
I doubt that.
He calls it emotional and richly romantic, and it's based on a novel. And there are 12 names.
Oh, my God.
So, Kate Flannery, how many names do you think you can get this movie in from 2004? It's emotional and richly romantic. It's based on a novel.
I'm going to say five names.
Five names. That's a bold bid.
Yeah.
First time playing
the
game.
Well, there's a show after this. So
Oscar, do you think... You can get it in less names, or would you like her to name that movie?
How many names did she say?
5.
I'm going to say 4.
Oscar says 4 names. Kate?
I'm going to say 3 names.
Oscar?
2004?
From 2004.
Emotionally.
Get in your time machine in your
it's
head,
It's not
Oscar.
Shitty, shitty, bang, bang. I know that.
Did you say shitty, shitty, bang, bang? That's
how,
like the porn version?
You said three?
That's the Hispanic pronunciation.
I hear that from Ed Helms every freaking day. Why do you pronounce? I'm... Okay. You know what? Go ahead. Do it.
Three okay. names?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Your three names are... Oba Baba Tunde. Which is one of my favorite names in the world. Sometimes I yell that like when I stub my toe. I'd be like, Oba Baba Tunde! This next name isn't going to be any help. Heather Wallquist or something like that. And then another name I don't know. Jamie Ann Brown. Those are your three names.
So now she has to name it?
I have to name it.
Now she has to name it. Yeah, see, that's tough.
Is it about an Irish family in New York? What the hell was that movie called? God damn it.
I don't think that's it.
That's not it.
I don't think that's the one. Some people
so
might know it
yeah,
in the
I'm
audience.
So sorry.
But, so no guess then?
I was going to say The Notebook. That's the only thing I can think of like back then, but that's totally wrong.
But what do you have
I can't,
to say?
Another
you have to say something.
I'm going
to
say The Notebook then.
That's correct.
That's I know. I am going to play
Thornton,
the lottery tonight.
Sam Shepard,
I am playing the scratch. What is I'm playing
Joan
the lottery.
Joan Allen, Kevin Connolly, James Marsden, Jenna Rollins, Kevin James
Ileana
Connor,
Douglas,
Rachel
oh
McAdams, and of course,
no way!
Ryan
I never
Gosling,
guessed
The
that.
Notebook.
Holy
of course
crap.
You wouldn't have guessed it. It's a tearjerker,
and
you're all man.
But I would not go see that movie. I like purposely knew what it was to, and I knew like about it to avoid it because it looked like
It's you know it's exactly it's a tearjerker. That's a perfect
right.
way to describe
okay, great.
It. If you want to cry, watch The Notebook, because you'll either cry because it made you cry, you'll cry because you're watching it. Works either way. All right. Okay. So now it's on you, Oscar. You
yes,
gotta
sir.
You gotta make a big comeback here. Would you like to play a movie that is features Star Wars alums? This is a you know movies that have someone from the Star Wars
you know
saga
what alums
in
is.
Them. I just want to be clear when I say alums that it's not movies that have multiple people from because those people never worked together again. They're all separately
gotcha.
In movies.
Okay.
And then future guest John Lithgow movies, or the third category is a new category I've come up with that I'm very excited about called In Theaters Now.
Let's do that.
Okay, In Theaters Now. You don't get to pick the year because it's movies that are in theaters now. This movie is in theaters now. And let's see what Leonard writes really long reviews when the movies first come out, and he doesn't give them stars. He just tells you a lot about what he thinks about
and
it.
And you're going to read a couple of words from?
I'm going to read a couple little things that he has to say about the movie.
You know, I used to wait on Leonard Maltin. I swear to God. And his wife, his female wife. He has a wife.
Everyone.
He has a wife. He's got a wife.
Why do you keep saying it like that? That guy's got a wife.
I totally thought he was gay. I'm sorry.
He doesn't seem that gay to me.
He doesn't
really?
Seem gay to me.
No, he gave me a hand job when he was on the show, but.
But it was very
was just,
manly.
That was just business.
His hand was rough. His hand was very rough. He works with wood.
Okay. Okay, one of the things he says about this movie is this young man has what it takes. Which is not a gay thing to say at all. And he also says this movie deserves the success it's bound to enjoy. And it's in theaters now, and there are four or five, six, nine names. Oscar Nunez? How many names do you think you can get it in?
Nine.
Nine names, says Oscar. KF?
Eight names.
Eight names, she says.
Five.
Nice jump.
Three.
Ooh, double jump.
I can't give it up. She's going to get it. She's going to get it if I give
she
it to her.
She might not get it.
You saw what she did with the last one? Notebook. What the hell?
So you want to say two names?
I have to say two.
You'd have to say two names.
Yeah, but you're going to pick the extras, the guys from the bottom.
They're not extras. They have speaking roles.
Go ahead, Kate.
Three names. Here we go, Kate. Zhui Wang, Shi Jia Lu, and Zhang Wang. Two different
Karate
Wangs.
Kid. Karate Kid.
That's
wrong.
That's
wrong.
Correct.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong.
Sorry, Oscar.
I should have picked it.
Yeah, well, see, you had no way to know that was coming, because the rest of the names are Jensei Wu, Rangong Yi, Wah Wah Wah, Taraji P. Henson.
Why does
Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith?
Here's the thing, Doug. Why does that asshole have to say this young kid? It's Will Smith's son. Say it. Will Smith's son has what it takes. This young
well,
kid.
Well, he like, mentions him by name.
Then you say his name. You're like,
well,
this young
kid. Well, I'm not
going
to say that part. If I say Jaden Smith has what it takes, and it's in theaters now, you'd
That'll
have to be pretty
me.
Dumb
That'll
to not know the answer.
You'd be surprised. It would have made it interesting. That's all I'm saying.
That would have been interesting. Let's play one more since we have a little extra time here.
This goes back to
I want
her.
You to redeem yourself.
I don't think I will, but this
Let's
goes back
do
to
another
her.
In theaters now.
Okay.
Okay. This She goes first, right?
No, you can go first this time.
No, she goes. She
no,
won.
It's okay. Okay.
I decided.
How about a mercy first? No.
The movie's strongest asset is its
Avatar.
The movie's strongest asset is its familiar stars. And this is another great line from the review. Framing their new adventure is a situation. And there's 10 names.
Oh God.
And
it's out now.
Who's gonna start the bidding?
She will.
Okay, Kate's gonna start the bidding.
I'm gonna start
even
this.
Even though Oscar should start.
Should I?
I think you're the one that's down 2 points.
Go for it.
Five.
Five names.
Four.
Three.
Two.
You're both like, I'm terrible at this, and then you're bidding like crazy people.
If I say one, then I only get one name.
No, then she could say zero names if she thinks she knows what it is.
And she might just do that, knowing her.
Yeah.
So I have to say one? You said two? Yeah. You can name it in two. But these people are well known. They're well known actors. She's gonna know. She's gonna get it in two names. I gotta say one. One.
Why do you think they're well known?
Because you said these people have worked together. They're 10 people. Didn't he say that? Didn't he say they're? You said
no. No. The clue was people. That the movie's asset is its stars, but there
stars.
Could be some people that aren't the stars at the bottom of the list of 10 names.
I'm gonna say zero.
Wow.
Okay. Now. Well, no, that doesn't mean she knows. It means she has a good guess. Oscar, you do have the opportunity. You can
negative
go negative
one.
Names.
How does that work?
You have to name the movie and someone that's in it.
Right, let me think. It has its stars. This movie has stars.
Yeah, and they have an adventure that's a situation.
I keep thinking Rugrats. I can't play this. Because they have like...
That's all you think about all the time. Is Rugrats.
It's out now. It's in theaters.
It's from
now.
This year. Yes, it's out now.
It's familiar.
It's in theaters now.
Stars. Friends? Are they making a No, they're not making a. I feel like I'm from
it's
Yugoslavia.
Out.
That I just
it's
landed
out.
Here, and I'm like, what movies are playing? I can't think. It's not familiar. Stars.
I think we have to let
Night and Day. Okay.
We have to let Kate guess.
Okay.
Kate, go ahead and guess it, Kate.
A Knight's Tale.
No.
Oh, no, what is it called?
It's called Night and Day, but that's not it.
Shit.
Is that it?
No.
Is it Night and Day?
The Cameron Diaz, Tom Cruise movie.
A Night's and Day Tale. No, that's not it. But that was fun that
that's
you played
guess.
That way.
I thought
and
it was
I'll
the...
just name a movie that's
okay,
out right now.
I know.
And get
me
it
to
wrong.
The, get me to the Greek.
No. Does anybody know?
Toy Story 3.
we just saw Despicable Me, we should have known.
Yeah. Jodie Benson, Estelle Harris, John Ratzenberger, Wallace Shawn, yeah, Michael Keaton, Don Rickles, Ned Beatty, Joan Cusack, Tim Allen, and Tom Hanks. Well, you guys are fierce competitors, and and it was fun to play that extra one there at the end. And
what does Jim win?
I'll tell you right now. Thank you for asking.
Jim.
I forgot to give him his prizes.
He wins Jim a tote bag.
Yeah, he wins a tote bag full of awesome stuff. Well, not awesome stuff, but it's good. He wins one of my T-shirts for my upcoming Pot the Vote Tour, the Doug Benson's Pot the Vote Tour T-shirt. Yeah. He also wins a copy of Doug Benson Professional Humoridian available on AST Records. And this is kind of cool. He wins on DVD Mad Men Season 3. Yeah. With John Hamm has been a guest on the show a couple of times, and he would have gotten Toy Story 3. There you go, Jim. Congratulations. Do you guys have anything coming up that you'd like to plug here in the last few seconds of the show while I ask Mandy, who I should call a shithead?
Actually, next month, I'm actually going to be on Wizards of Waverly Place playing the best friend's mom. Right. Harper's mom, swear to God.
Yay.
Yeah, look for the party hat. And
she's behind a chair.
And what do you got coming up, Oscar?
Nothing. It's The Office. We go back the 21st of July.
Oh, okay. For Steve Carell's last season.
For his final, yeah.
For the end of our careers.
Before, that's going to be awesome. I'm just kidding.
Before Abe Vigoda replaces him in an iron lung machine, and we just go visit him in the office. He never leaves the office.
Once again, another round of applause for my guests, Kate Flannery and Oscar Nunez. Great job, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
And as always, Pat Robertson is a shithead.